and how worthy of all the glory and the honor. Have you had a good day in the kingdom of God? Praise God. So many good things going on. Last 2 weeks, we've seen probably 10 or so people baptized in Jesus' name. And that's just business as usual in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Now, tonight, we're going to probably run for about 30 minutes here. And then you're going to break and go over and break bread and fellowship. So I hope everybody's able to take the time and spend some time there together and have a good time of fellowship. It'll be the first Wednesday of every month for the duration of the year. So first week of every month, we'll break bread over in the other building. And we thank Brother Jeff and all those that are over there working and setting that up for us. And appreciate the goodness of God. Let's just begin. Let's start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Hey, Dustin, I sent you a picture. Did you happen to get it? Is it workable? Oh, it is workable. Now, these are the suffering young men we've been praying for. I thought, well, the danger there is eating ice cream on the street in Mexico. But they know where it is, and they were raised there, so they got all the antibodies they need, you know. They can eat anything off the street they want. But don't let this picture deceive you. Continue to pray for them. They are really in need of prayer, but I'm glad they're having a good time. They're going to go see their parents and haven't. How long has it been since Augie? Okay, Augustine hadn't seen his mom and dad in 17 years. And this is going to be a wonderful reunion there. And I guess nearly the same for Martine, huh? Probably 15, 16. Okay, I can't keep track of when they came. I just know the Bible study never ended. That once it started with Oswaldo, people kept coming and people kept coming. And it was the longest Bible study in the history of the earth. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Well, we want to say amen to the last line, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But the first line is intriguing to me. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. God bless you. You can be seated. And if you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Tonight, we pray you to plant it in our hearts. Help, oh God, that your word is in us, a seed that brings forth the kingdom of God. Everybody say praise the Lord. So, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. From John 1 to Genesis 1, it was the word of God in creation. Faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. So creation comes by the power of the word of God. Faith, which is the rudimentary experience in coming to God, that comes from the word of God. By his word, he made all things. By his word, he came into the earth, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so God does everything by his word. Your experience in God is by the word. The gospel comes by the word. The Christ was the word incarnate. We are literally standing on and breathing and living and moving by the word of God. Everything comes from the Word, and then everything depends on the Word of God. And I am staggered as I read this first line in this third chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course. So then the Word of the Lord is the hope of all the world. The Word of the Lord is the panacea. It's the answer. It's the healing. It's the remedy. It's the course of salvation. The Word of the Lord is your opening of your Red Sea. It's the moving of your mountain. It's the overcoming of all of your obstacles and your enemies. The Word of the Lord is the power of God manifest in the earth. The Word of God is everything to us. But I'm reading here where Paul says, I need you to pray for us, because without your prayer, the Word of God doesn't have free course. The Word of God can't go where it wants to go, can't do. I'm just going to tell you right now, the Word of God in bound form, in printed form, is available to more people and in more homes than ever before in all of history. It's in more places than it's ever been before, and it's doing less good than it's ever done before in so many places, because it lies on a shelf, but it never gets into the heart of a man, or it sits in a place where they edit it, or they constrain it, or they modify it to suit their own traditions. And so the Word of God, powerful as it is not going and having what Paul calls here free course. It's not doing what it was intended to do. It's not achieving what God's motive and what God's purpose was. The Word of God then, unless it's mixed with faith, unless it can penetrate the heart, the Word of God can't work in this equation. If I'm reading Paul correctly, the Word of God can only work when somebody on the deck is praying a prayer and moving the heavenlies and opening a spiritual dynamic and shaping the course of men's interactions. Jesus said, you want to be a worshiper, you've got to worship in spirit and in truth. And so it's going to take both of those. But this becomes to us of great importance, because God has entrusted everything that he does to his people. Israel was the light of the world, and the light nearly went out because Israel didn't perform as God had desired them or had sent them forth to perform. And God has committed everything into the hands and to the prayers of his people. I infer then from this reading that the hindrances to the Word of God are removed or assaulted or overcome or overwhelmed by prayer, and that there is some level of liberty that is going to be established or achieved by prayer, and that the presence of the Word all by itself is not going to do the work that God has intended for it to do. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. So then the path and the power of opposing men, he said, you pray for me that wicked men and men that resist the truth are going to be moved out of the way, or we're going to be able to have success. He said that I might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And so that men are going to be affected by prayer, and the earth is going to be affected by prayer, and the success of the gospel is going to be affected by prayer. And I just, as we move through this, the Word of God has to have free course. Well, what free course does the Word of God need? It the intended target of the Word of God is the heart of a man or a woman. That is the field that the Word of God is intended to be planted in. And so the desire of the apostle here is that the Word of God may have free course to enter into the heart of a man or a woman. And he said it's going to take prayer. It's going to take the prayer of God's people. So prayer then is going to cause the Word of God to find its intended target. And it's like a laser-guided missile of some sort. When you have some munitions that our armed forces use right now, they're very strategic and very specific, but there has to be somebody down at the ground level to light that target up with a laser so that that bomb or that rocket or whatever's coming in can find that. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about prayer is. By prayer, I've got to light this man up so that the word of God can make its way into his life and into this home and change his life. Somebody say, prayer is everything. If prayer is anything, prayer is everything. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then prayer becomes applicable to the parable of the sower. The sower is a parable or a metaphor about the word of God. The sower, he says in Luke, sows the word. And so the sower goes forth and sows the seed. And we understand the seed is the word of God. And as we follow the parable, then we understand that some falls on hard ground. It's the wayside and it's been packed down and somebody's walked on it or the machine has run over it and it's pounded down and the sun has baked it and it's hard and it's impenetrable and the fowls come and take the word of God away. He said the devil comes and takes it from the heart of somebody, that their heart is hard or their spirit is hardened by life and from the trampling effect of life. And the second situation is some ground is stony ground. It's full of stones, and so when the seed is there, it might penetrate a little bit and it springs up. The phrase that the scripture uses is it springs up anon, or it springs up immediately. But then when the sun comes up, for lack of depth of root, for lack of moisture, it withers away. And he says that's just how it is with people. The word of God comes to them and it strikes them in their heart and it springs up and they're happy about it and they love it. But when they go home and the house is not happy about it, or the job is not happy about it, or their friends are not happy about it, then they don't have enough root to sustain themselves, and the tiny newborn plant of the word of God withers in their life. And likewise, the third or fourth example is a field with thorns and something that is there that competes for nourishment and for the earth and for the sun and for the moisture, competing in the life of a man or woman. And Jesus said this is the cares of riches, the cares of life. And you sow the seed up in there and it can't get traction because that thorn bush is closing out the sunlight and sucking up all the moisture, taking up all the nutrient. And these are all natural metaphors for the condition of the human heart and the interaction that it has with the word of God. And he says, but there's some good ground, and when the seed falls on the good ground, it brings forth 30, 60, or 100-fold. But as Paul's talking about this, and he says, pray for us that the word of God may have free course, that the word of God can penetrate, that the word of God can germinate, that it can bring forth the fruit of the kingdom. I want you to pray for us that the word of God, it tells me, and I just naturally navigate to this parable, and I understand by inference there that Paul is telling me that if we'll pray, that prayer can break up the hard ground, and that the seed of God can germinate in the hard ground, and that by prayer is how, because in the story we understand tactile movement and lifting and moving stones and the hard work of moving stones, but it's all of those competing things in the life of a man or a woman that hinder the root system of the word of God as it tries to grow in that life. And so we understand in the natural, we naturally pick it up and we move it, but what do we do in the spirit? Paul is teaching me here that it's by prayer that I'm going to move the stones in the life of a man or a woman. I'm going to get down in a place of prayer. First my own life. It's down in an altar that the stones of resistance are going to be moved out of my life. It's down in an altar that the stones are going to be lifted out and moved on the side so that the word, the rich word of God, can get down in the dirt of my heart and germinate and bring forth in my life. And he's telling me, he's teaching me that those thorn bushes are going to be torn out by their roots by the power of the word of God, but only if it can have free course, only if it finds its way in and has access. And that's only going to happen by prayer. Somebody say prayer. Paul said, pray for us. He's an apostle. He's seen blind eyes open, and he's seen the dead raised from, he's seen people raised from the dead, and he's had great revival, and he's caused riots, and he's called caused revivals in every city where he's gone. But he's telling the people of God, I need you to pray for me, because the word of God will not go forth unless somebody's praying. The word of God will not go forth unless somebody's praying. The word of God's not going to go forth successfully in the heart of a man unless somebody's praying. It's not going to bring forth a crop unless somebody's praying. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to thank God right now for the privilege of prayer. I want you to just lift up your voice and thank God for the privilege that I can come to God in prayer. And in my prayer, God can move on my life. My God, if I've got a hindrance in my life, God can begin to move that hindrance by prayer. But the church, otherwise, for the individual, it's immediate and it's personal. And you need to have sense enough to know you've got to have a vibrant prayer life, or you're not going to optimize what God has planted in you. The word of God won't have free course in your life unless you develop. You've got to develop a prayer life. You've got to get down in the trench and learn how to pray. No, it doesn't come naturally. And yes, your flesh is resistant to prayer. And yes, your natural mind will say this is the most useless time that you're spending in your life. You're not producing anything. You're not building anything. You're not doing anything. But oh no, my response is no. Prayer is where I'm connecting, where I'm tethering with the heavenlies, where I'm engaging God, and God begins to move on my behalf. And stones that I can't move, God can move out of the way. And briars and thorns that I can't pluck up, God can come in by the power of his spirit, and he can pluck those up. I've got to develop a prayer life. But I've got to develop a prayer life not only for myself, Brother Tracy, but I've got to develop a prayer life for those that are coming in that don't have sense enough to do it yet. They don't understand how to live for God yet. They don't understand the struggles they're going to have. But if they can come into a praying church, if they can walk into a church that knows how to pray, that'll take the time to pray, that is burdened to pray, that has vision enough to pray, that has passion enough to pray, if they can walk into a church like that, they don't have to understand the theology of the stones, or the theology of the thorns, or the theology of how the word works. They don't have to understand that yet, but they can have a foot in the door because they've come into a house of prayer. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people, for all people. People that are bound up can come into a house of prayer. People that are all tangled up can come into a house of prayer. But my God, we don't need to be in a place. I give the quizzers trouble every time I see them out there. Ah, the money changers in the house of God. I'm going to throw over their tables and scatter their candy. But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's for the children. We're going to let the children quiz. We're going to let them participate, and the church is going to participate in that. But that's the only stinking fundraiser we're going to have. Praise God. I am anti-fundraisers. I am very, very conscious that the focus of the church should be soul winning. To seek and to save the lost. He said that's why the Son of Man has come. Then the church is to seek and save the lost. And they don't understand it. Why are you hanging out with the sinners? Why are you hanging out with the tax collectors? He said, oh, you don't understand. Let me tell you some stories. And he tells them about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And then when each of those is retrieved, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. That's where heaven's heart is. That's where heaven's heart is. Praise God. Paul's illuminating something here for us. I want to have revival. I want to see revival. I want to see a city shaken. I want to see the word of God have its intended effect. I want to see the word of God have free course. He said, pray for us that the word of God may have free course. Because everything in hell rises up against the opportunity a man has to hear the word of God. Everything in hell rises up to say, don't believe that. Don't receive that. Don't embrace that. My God, if they're out there by themselves, they have very little chance. But if they walk into a praying house, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations or for all people. If they walk into a house that knows how to pray, praise God. Let's just lift our hands right now and let's just thank God for the privilege of prayer. Praise God. I want somebody to pray, God, help me. Help me to help your word have free course. Help me to be a blessing to some new person that comes in. Help me, oh God, by prayer to remove the stones and pluck up the thorns. Help me, mighty God, to be wise in cultivating the field. Help me, mighty God. How do you do that? How do you break up the hard ground? How do you break it up? How do you disc it? How do you row it up? You do it by prayer. You get down in the hard work of prayer and you break up the ground, and then the seed has some potential and has some power in the lives. In a prayerless church, you can preach until your head falls off. In a prayerless church, men and women are not going to receive the word of God. You're not going to have an outpouring of revival. You're not going to have changed lives. You're not going to have the kind of move that God is passionate about. But oh, if God can find a praying church. If God, Paul said, pray for me. I want the word of God to have free course. Well, my God, that's the word of God. This is God's primary means of change and operating and creating and delivering. This is the word of God. It's stronger than anything. Well, yeah, it is. But Paul said, I need somebody to pray. I need somebody to make a way for the word of God. I need somebody to move aside the spiritual dynamic. I need somebody to get out in the field and break up the ground so the seed can penetrate the ground. We're going to do that by prayer. Prayer is how we do a lot of things. We worship God. We praise God. We give him all kinds of thanks, and that's a good thing, and it's a powerful thing, and it's a revelatory thing to have the revelation of praise. It's powerful in the house of God. But he didn't say my house is going to be a house of praise for all nations. He said my house is going to be a house of prayer for all nations. And I hear a prophecy that went forth about a decade ago, and it said there's going to come a day when people are going to praise a God they won't pray to. And it's happening in charismatic churches, and it's happening in full gospel churches, and everybody has their contemporary time of worship, and they're clapping their hands, and they've got a band, and they've got a praise group, and they're clapping their hands, and they're praising God. But on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, there's nobody down in the trench digging and plowing and digging up stones and tearing up thorns by the power of prayer, so that the word of God can have its free course. The work of God is done in prayer. Somebody say praise God. Once more, just lift up your hands, and I want you to pray a little bit right now. God, help me. Help me to be effective in your harvest. Help me to be effective in your kingdom. Help me to make a way for somebody else. So God, mighty God, touch somebody's life today. Come on. Somebody intercedes for somebody that you love. Somebody make a way for somebody that you care about right now. Somebody pray for somebody that's in this city that doesn't know God, but they need to find their way. How does that happen? That happens because there's a Cornelius on his face before God, and there's a Peter on a rooftop in prayer before God, and prayer brings the houses together, and prayer opens the spiritual dynamic. Hallelujah. He said, pray for us that the word of God may have free course. Praise God. Praise God. Pray for us that the word of God, this powerful word of God, and this really accentuates for us this idea that we've dealt with. We did it some this past weekend. This idea that God has committed everything into the hands of his people, and that God won't do anything without his people. And so then the world languishes while Israel chases after everything but God. God spends that inordinate energy and time and passion just trying to draw his people back. And if you're vaguely familiar with the Old Testament, you see the whole book of Judges is that story over and over and over again. This is the church of the living God. And there are churches that have closed up. And there are ministries that have stopped preaching it. And there are folks that have jettisoned holiness. And they, instead of praying so that the word can have free course, they've looked around and they've said, well, the word's not working. So we need to back off from some things that we've taught before, believed before. We need to make the church more comfortable for people outside. We need to make it look more familiar for folks from the outside, but that's none of those things do we need to do. I don't want them to feel comfortable. I want the Word of God to shake them up. I don't want them to feel like this is something I've seen 1,000 times. This is not trying to recruit. You know what that mentality does? That mentality is drafted from the charismatics and from the full gospel crowd. And they didn't build a church. They drained. Do you know there's an Episcopalian church right here that just sold its place? And they closed up and they joined together with another Episcopalian place out on Deerfoot Parkway. And I know this because we stopped and bought some cubbies from them the other day. And together, they don't have 40 people in that house on Sunday morning. And those old mainline denominations are dying. Why are they dying? Because they're recycling them. They're going to this charismatic church, or they're going to that full gospel church, or they're going here or wherever. And they're just recycling the same denominal theologies, but nobody's having their life changed, and nobody's coming into the gospel. But I want you to know there is a revival. You may not think so because you look and you see churches on every corner, but there's a revival ready in the city of Birmingham, the likes of which would just shake your mind and your spirit if you could see it like God sees it. Because all these people are still walking under the power of their sin. They're still bound up in theology that won't set them free. They're still as much, they're sitting in church every Sunday morning in need of God as much as they've ever been in all their life, because they won't preach the truth to them. But if you'll pray, the Word of God can have its free course, and the Word of God can move into those places and into their homes and into their businesses. My God, I believe if we pray, the Word of God that they handle erroneously can shock them and move them. I believe if we pray, the Word of God that they handle in darkness, not understanding what its import is or what it's trying to say to them, I believe it can shake them and stir them and draw them and move them. I believe He's a revelatory God. I believe He's a God that still speaks. I believe the gem of the light of God is still in the pages of that old book. And I believe that if we'll pray in a city where there's no prayer, that's not going to happen. But if God's people begin to pray, there is no limit to what can happen here. A man can open up his Bible and see something that he's never seen before. Brother Jerry, I remember the night we got baptized, about midnight, middle of August, back in 1974. And we got baptized because we'd been in some Bible studies, and I didn't understand anything, and I didn't understand the truth, and I just knew that they had convinced us. We had seen the prophecy, and the prophecy made me know the Bible was true, and these Pentecostals kept giving Bible answers for every question that we had, and it frustrated me because they were weird, and they were strange, and they were culturally abnormal, and I thought, well, they're probably right about that too, but it took us a while to understand all that. But the night we got baptized, it was midnight. I was raised in church all my life. My wife was too, but we had never seen anything like that. We got baptized at midnight, and at midnight when we walked in that church, there were little old ladies walking around the perimeter of that old church on Victoria Drive, and they were having a prayer meeting, and they had been in prayer for a season of time, and they had been praying for weeks. They'd been praying for months. The whole church was getting on board, and they were praying late at night and early in the morning. I don't have any doubt at all that the prayer of that church touched the direction of our lives and brought a Josh McDowell tape of prophecy into our social group and our family group, and we came into a place of understanding of the Word of God. I don't have any doubt at all that it was the prayer of that church, the prayers of that church, that opened the door, that changed our lives, that gave the Word of God free course, and it began to open up dynamics and the tethers of our spiritual domination, the things that we were up to our eyeballs in. They begin to loosen long enough for us to step out of the glue of sin and bondage and come into an apostolic church and receive the truth of God. I believe it was by prayer. I believe it was by prayer. I'll let you tell it. I just remember Sister Sutton had a cousin that lived out in the country. His mom and dad ran a dairy farm. She'd go out there with him, and his name was Jim. And Jim had all kinds of strange friends. He had an old black man that they would go see. Now, this was in the 60s. These two little white kids going into this old black man's house was not an everyday occurrence. And he had an old blind aunt, I think, that they would go see. And he also said, there's a black church down here. And they would go and climb a tree and look down into the yard of that church. Because when those folks would start stepping onto that church ground, they'd start twitching and shouting and feeling the Holy Ghost and yielding to God. It wasn't until she was an adult, I think it was just a few years ago, she remembered that a woman looked up and saw those two little white kids in that tree. And the Holy Ghost said, she prayed for you. She prayed for you. One of those little snapshots in the midst of your life that you don't see and you're just blazing through life and you don't even understand until the Holy Ghost arrests your motion and says, this is how it really was. Somebody prayed for a little girl up in a tree looking down at the only Holy Ghost manifestation she had, because they didn't act like that in the Presbyterian church. After Pawpaw's funeral, they were going through some things, and one of her natural dad's aunts sent her a few pictures of her mom and of Sister Sutton and her sister when they were little, and of her natural dad, who she never knew because he died when she was 9 months old. And I look at that picture, and Dorothy, her mom, is standing there, and she's in her early 30s, and she's got a one-year-old. That picture was on my wife's first birthday. She's holding a one-year-old by the hand, and she's got a three-year-old, Dawson's mama, standing there beside, and she's got a thousand-yard stare in her eyes. Her husband's been dead for 2 months. She's got two little babies, 39 years old, dropped dead of a heart attack. Bam. She had to go back to work, so she had to go to school. And she brought somebody in, and I've told you this story, but this story is so apropos to this lesson tonight. She brought a lady in, and the lady's name was Grandma Mary. That's all they ever knew her as. Brought her in to keep my wife and her sister while Nana or Dorothy, my wife's mom, went to work and tried to keep house and home together. I don't know how many years that went on until Dorothy married Pawpaw that you know, and then Grandma Mary was relieved of her duty because Dorothy came home. But the night we got the Holy Ghost, we came home. We came to her parents' home and said, we got the Holy Ghost. Her dad was Catholic. Her mom was Presbyterian. And we said, we got the Holy Ghost, and we talked in tongues. We're 20 years old. We've been married 6 months. Our whole world has just turned upside down. And when we told them, it was at a church over on Victoria Drive. It's called the First Pentecostal Church. The first thing her mom said was, that's Grandma Mary's church. That's Grandma Mary's church. And you, I didn't know it then. I didn't even think about it then. I didn't have enough sense to put anything together then. But, oh, I see it clearly now. For the course of several years, that old apostolic woman had these two babies in her hands, and she rocked them. I know she told them about Jesus. I know she sang to them, and I know she prayed for them. I know she prayed for them. And let me tell you, I didn't have any connection at all. If it hadn't been for my connection with somebody that was connected, I'd still be out or dead or somewhere or whatever. I'm just telling you, I was not connected. It is so fabulous to be connected. Hardly anybody just wakes up and walks into this under their own power. But I believe that old lady prayed for them. I believe she prayed for them, and I believe there was a special anointing on my wife and on her sister that they were by prayer destined to come into the knowledge of the truth of God. You do what you want to do with that, but I believe your prayer. You hear what Paul's saying? He's saying pray so that the word of God can have its free course, and pray so that wicked men that don't have faith will leave us alone. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying that prayer changes the behavior and the course of men's lives. Your prayer can be an insurgent force all over this city and can change people's lives. It may be 20 years in the future. You just don't know. But the residual power of that prayer is an impressive thing. It's an immeasurable thing. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Come on, let's come down around the altar just for a minute. And I want somebody to renew a commitment for prayer. And I want somebody to thank God for the privilege of prayer. And I want somebody to say, God, we're going to pray, and your word is going to have free course in our lives and in this city. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ah, mighty God, mighty God. Somebody cry out to God. Lift up your voice, all you people. God's word said he heard them when they cried. And when they cried out unto God, God heard. God hears prayer. God hears prayer. Prayer opens something in the spirit. Prayer touches the lives of men. Prayer opens a spiritual dynamic. Prayer changes the course of people's lives. Prayer. It's the most common thing. A king can pray and a pauper can pray. A child can pray and an old man can pray. A sinner can pray and a godly man can pray. It's a gift from God. God lets us pray. God, we thank you for prayer. God, we thank you for prayer. God, shake our city, shake my neighbors, shake those on my job, move in my family, oh God. Here I am, God, I'm blood-bought and I'm spirit-filled and I'm your child and I'm calling on you, God. You got strength that we don't have. You can touch somebody I can't touch. You can change things that I have no power over. God, we're calling on you. We need you, God. We need you, God. We need you, God. Ah, but when you show up, oh God, everything changes. God, I need a change in my life. Ah, God, I need a move of God in my family. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody learn how to pray. Somebody learn how to cry out. My God, he's given you the name of Jesus. What a weapon. Go boldly into the throne room of grace. Use what God has given. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty, pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. I don't know what to do. Pray. I don't see how it's going to work. Pray. I can't reach them. Pray. Prayer builds a bridge. Prayer touches a heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. by prayer, stake out your claim in your workplace, in your school, in your house, in your neighborhood. Stake out your claim. Walk up and down in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Lay your hand on somebody next to you if you're not already doing that. Just begin to pray for them. Talk in tongues. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit of God makes intercession. Praise according to the will of God. What are you saying? I don't know, but God's moving. God's giving you a secret weapon in prayer. Ah, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Praise God. I don't think anything we do is going to work toward revival without prayer. But I think everything you do has phenomenal possibility when you learn how to pray. I believe God can do anything. You believe that? If God can do anything, praise God. Praise God. If you don't have a prayer life, build you one. Nobody can do that for you. Build it. If you have a prayer life, ratchet it up. It's where we do all the heavy lifting for the kingdom and what God has in mind. God bless you. We're going to go over for a time of fellowship and food over in the other building. I love the presence of God in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Brother Kedrick, won't you pray for us tonight and bless the food too?